Going to read the publisher's desk this morning, the one you've heard already. Hopefully you'll find a new point in it that didn't quite sink in last time. Creating an audio file that, if all goes well, will be part of the Hinduism Today digital edition when it's formally launched April 1st. So the idea is we're creating a, a downloadable edition of Hinduism Today that you can view on your own computer. And besides the printed magazine material, we're going to add certain extra features called rich media, which are starting with some audio files. So you can listen to the publisher's desk and not just read it, for example. Later on, we'll be a little more ambitious and we'll add some video files. But I want to start with something additional. So here we go. In Hinduism, we are fortunate to have many God-realized souls to guide us along the spiritual path. Their teachings are so profound and powerful that they penetrate our normal consciousness and give us new insights into how to live to maximize our spiritual progress. Our Paramaguru Yogaswami of Jaffna, Sri Lanka, gave us one such gem when he said, "The world is an ashram, a training ground for the achievement of moksha, liberation." Yogaswami's statement has a parallel in William Shakespeare's play, As You Like It. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. Here is a paraphrase of Shakespeare's lines adapted to reflect Yogaswami's spiritual meaning. All the world's an ashram, and all the men and women are divine souls. They are spiritually maturing through earthly experiences, and one soul in its time takes many births and thus evolves into oneness with God. Let's look more closely at what it means to say that all the world's an ashram. An ashram, of course, is the residence and teaching center of a swami or spiritual preceptor. It is a place we go to learn about our religion and make spiritual progress. When we go out the door of our home to go to work, school, or elsewhere, do we have in mind that we are going to an ashram? That our actions during the day, in the office, factory, hospital, classroom, or elsewhere, will help us evolve spiritually and bring us closer to moksha? Probably not. When we come home and reflect back on the day, do we feel we made spiritual progress while out of the home? Probably not. Why is this? It is because we have not been trained to look at life in this way. We think of the ashram as a place of spiritual advancement, and we regard the world as a place of mundane tasks and distractions from our spiritual work. The common idea is that what we do in the ashram, the home shrine or the temple, is what brings us spiritual progress, and what we do at the office or in the classroom has nothing to do with our spiritual life. This common perspective is not the viewpoint of great souls such as Yogaswami. Such souls know that much spiritual progress can be made during our time in the world if we hold the right perspective. I call this approach spiritualizing daily life. Let's bring this concept down to earth by dividing the occasions for spiritual progress when out into the world into two categories. facing life's challenges, and finding opportunities to serve. First, let's look at facing life's challenges. Life is going to come to you whether you want it to or not. Joyful, easy times, difficult times, happy days and sad, it's all coming. It is there in your karma. It can't help but come, so you don't have to go looking for it. You don't have to go and try and do something different. You can't avoid it. You can't hide from it. Life's challenges will come to us. What is going to happen is going to happen. But where the focus should be for those on the spiritual path is how we respond to these challenges. Why? Because that is where we have a choice. For example, a small infant keeps us awake all night by crying. How do we respond to it? Does it upset us? Do we complain? Or do we just accept it and respond back with lots of love? In every experience of life, we have control over our response. It can be impulsive or thoughtful. It's our choice. When accused of something that we didn't do, how do we respond? When we face challenges at work, say our boss is unfair with us, yells at us, what is our reaction? We want to yell back, but cannot. So do we go home and yell at the spouse? In all such cases, we have choices. It is not the challenges that come, but how we face those challenges that makes the difference. We can react emotionally without thinking about spiritual principles. We can get angry or despondent. We can worry a lot and become irritable. Or we can decide to control any emotional reactions that we might have. We can choose to live without anger. We can choose to cultivate patience. We can choose to be kinder to other people, to be more generous. That is what makes us spiritually stronger. As we curb our instinctive nature, our soul nature shines forth. In other words, if we get angry now and then, let us try and eliminate anger altogether. If we get impatient with people who seem to explain things at great lengths when they could be explained in a short way, let's learn how not to get impatient. Let us learn how to accept that verbosity is their nature. Here is the list of six common challenges we face in life that provide us with good opportunities for spiritual progress if we respond in a wise manner with self-control. First challenge, mistreatment by others. Life provides us a steady stream of experiences in which we are mistreated by others. Rather than retaliate or hold resentment, we can forgive and respond with kindness. Second challenge, our own mistakes. When we make a major error, we have a choice to wallow in self-doubt and self-deprecation or to figure out how to not repeat the mistake. Third challenge, difficult projects. When faced with tasks that stretch our abilities, we can do the minimal just to get by or be inspired to do our best by looking at them as opportunities to improve our concentration, willpower, and steadfastness, all of which will enhance our meditation abilities and inner striving. Fourth challenge, disturbed emotions. When we get upset by life's experiences, we have a choice to suffer the emotional upheaval or to strive to pull ourselves out of it as quickly as possible. Fifth challenge, interpersonal conflicts. When serious disagreements, quarrels, or arguments occur, we have a choice to hold a grudge and perhaps even shun the person or to resolve the matter and keep the relationship harmonious. Sixth challenge, gossip and backbiting. When those around us indulge in gossip, rumors, scandals, and backbiting, we have a choice to join in or to not participate, and even among those close to us, make it clear that we do not approve. The second category of occasions for spiritual progress when out in the world is what I call finding opportunities to serve. Here is an introduction to this concept from Gurudeva's Living with Shiva, which beautifully illustrates the idea of spiritualizing daily life through service. Go out into the world this week and let your light shine through your kind thoughts. But let each thought manifest itself in a physical deed of doing something for someone else. Lift their burdens just a little bit, and unknowingly perhaps, you may lift something that is burdening your mind. You erase and wipe clean the mirror of your own mind through helping another. We call this karma yoga, the deep practice of unwinding through service the selfish, self-centered, egotistical vasanas, subconscious inclinations of the lower nature that have been generated for many, many lives and which bind the soul in darkness. Through service and kindness, you can unwind the subconscious mind and gain a clear understanding of all laws of life. Your soul will shine forth. You will be that peace. You will radiate that inner happiness and be truly secure simply by practicing being kind in thought, word, and deed. Unquote. There are many opportunities to help others at home, work, school, in the neighborhood, and community. We have developed a list of 6 simple practices. Let me briefly introduce them. First opportunity, seeing God in those we greet. When greeting someone, we strive to look deeply enough into them to see God, to see them as a divine being evolving through experience into oneness with God. Our attitude is then naturally helpful and benevolent. Second opportunity, volunteering. There are many opportunities each day to step forward and offer to help in ways that are beyond what is required of us. An attitude of humble service diminishes the ego and strengthens our spiritual identity. One important spiritual attitude to hold is to be willing to help when called upon, to not resist or refuse, to be as open to helping others as you are in doing things for yourself. Third opportunity, expressing appreciation. We can uplift and encourage others by sincerely expressing how grateful we are for their help, friendship, and importance in our life. Fourth opportunity, helping newcomers. In our modern world, people move around a great deal. Thus, there is a steady flow of newcomers at work, at school, in our neighborhood, and at our temple. Stepping forward to welcome and help orient them to their new environment is an excellent way to be of service. Fifth opportunity, offering hospitality. Everyone can find creative ways to be hospitable in the home, at school, and even at work. Sixth opportunity, making encouraging and complimentary remarks. Make a point to say something encouraging and complimentary to everyone you meet. Their day will be brighter because of it, and so will yours. In conclusion, having a great day needs to mean more than getting a bonus at work or an A on a school test. It should include the spiritual progress you made that day through effectively facing life's challenges and the ways in which you helped and uplifted others. Our list of 12 practices is a good beginning, but hopefully you will keep expanding it as additional insights come from your striving to maximize the spiritual progress you can make from the experiences and opportunities each day brings. Also, parents can teach children to consciously strive for spiritual progress each day at school by facing life's challenges and finding opportunities to serve. So the idea is, as you know, that opportunity is right under our nose, so to speak, and we don't see it, we don't take advantage of it, because we haven't really thought about it very much, but it's there. And so where this talk came from is the statement, and it happened was happening about every third family I met in the Gurupitam. Every third family would say the same thing. They'd say, Swami, we don't have any time for our spiritual life. We're so busy with our work obligations, raising our children, this and that. What can we do? You know, when you hear it every third time, you have to be careful not to laugh. You know, here it comes again. You know, I mean, they're totally serious, but say, oh, here we are again. So when you hear something that often, it definitely is a good publisher's desk. It means it's an issue that's on the mind of a lot of people. And so the basic problem is this separation between our normal daily life out in the world and our spiritual life. We think the two have no relationship. But of course they do. And Hinduism doesn't have this distinction between secular and sacred. So it gets around the problem that there's no time to do something spiritual. That's what it's trying to say. It doesn't take any extra time. You're at work already. You're at school already. You know, you're putting in your hours, you know, and you're there. And without taking any extra time, you can do extra actions or you can react in a different way and make more spiritual opportunities, make more spiritual progress than you would otherwise. So it doesn't take any extra time. That's getting around that objection. No one has time for spiritual life. So we're already at school, we're already at work, already at home doing certain chores. So the way we do them can set us back spiritually. We can have no spiritual progress. It can be neutral or it can advance us spiritually. We have a choice in every action we make by how we do it. If it spiritually puts us backwards, doesn't do anything, or takes us forward. So we might as well go forward, right? Make some good progress. So that's the general idea. And we used it as our teaching on the inner search, and we've gotten some good feedback that certain people have found it very useful in providing concepts for their daily life, certain principles to guide them that they didn't have before, and which they can really see a big difference. So that's nice to see that it worked, and we're continuing to refine the material, develop it into a seminar for use later in the year. So have a wonderful faith. Om Namah Shivaya.